United States v. Donovan, 19-6167. And counsel, we are ready when you are.
Morning, Your Honor, and may it please the court. Caleb Kruckenberg for William Donovan. The government and the U.S. Probation Officer, U.S. Probation Office emphasized repeatedly their belief that Mr. Donovan had been involved in a series of uncharged tag agency burglaries. And that was a significant part of the government's presentation at sentencing for the unrelated supervised release violations. And while the district court said that it was improper to consider those allegations in crafting his sentence, the court still said there, quote, might be something there. There was, quote, some substance. And looking at the record, he was concerned that Mr. Donovan's conduct was, quote, considerably more serious than what had been alleged by the government. And then the court issued a sentence that was above the guideline range. It was 6 months beyond the guideline range. And it was because of the uncharged tag agency burglaries.
When, how do you say that? Because the court not only said what he didn't do, the court said what he did do. He said, I did not take into account the tag burglaries because that would be improper. And then he said what he did do. I did give you an uptick because of your job with Vantage Point and your non-disclosure and deceptiveness about continuing your wrongful behavior. So we've got both a push and a pull here, standing to negate that the court considered that in the sentencing.
Well, certainly the court said that, and the court made those remarks. And I think when we look at the whole and we look at the sentencing transcript, it tells a very troubling story in the sense that the government appeared at sentencing and presented an extensive presentation about this entire course of conduct, this entire idea that Mr. Donovan was involved in these tag agency burglaries, that he had downloaded software, he'd acquired all sorts of new, he'd committed new offenses that somehow related to the tag agency burglaries. You know, there was extensive commentary at the sentencing hearing about the surveillance video. It showed a very tall individual who they couldn't make out, and that was a reference to Mr. Donovan, who is very tall. And then at the end of that, the judge said, you know, these are concerning. I mean, the court's words were that there were some substance to this. There might be a new burglary. And the court specifically said, quote, the evidence here, I think, is sufficient to persuade me that he might be involved in this other burglary. The court also said there was no reason, he could not think of any other reason why Mr. Donovan would be downloading that kind of stuff, the software that the government had alleged.
But then the court immediately says, but I don't think it's appropriate for me to proceed on the assumption he's been out bumping off tag agencies. And he goes on, as Judge Ebel already pointed out, to explain that the reason that we have an upward variance is because of the concern with the dishonesty to the probation officer.
That's right, Your Honor. And I think what we have is a situation where the record is very ambiguous. Certainly the judge said these things. He said, it is improper to do this. It is improper to take this into consideration. But when you look at the sentencing transcript, I mean, this was the primary argument. This was the primary argument of the government. And this is certainly what the sentencing court discussed extensively.
Well, here's where we have said something that is the core of your problem. You say, here we have a decision that was very ambiguous, and yet you never objected. Now, you say that should be excused because it was on the court's mind, the record knew what our position was, but the very purpose for insisting upon lawyers and parties objecting is to clear up ambiguity. So I agree with your acknowledgement, maybe, about ambiguousness, but well, I guess I don't know. I'm not going to say whether I agree with that or not, but assuming that were true, doesn't that make your failure to object more serious as a waiver of the claim?
Well, I don't think so, Your Honor, because we have a situation where the district court did acknowledge very clearly, as you've pointed out, the district court acknowledged that it would be improper to consider the uncharged burglaries as a sentencing enhancement. And then, at least, it is very ambiguous from that point whether the district court then did consider that evidence. And I think on
the whole, I don't see any ambiguity at all. The district court says, it would be, yeah, you've just argued all this stuff to me. And, you know, there may be some substance there, but it would be improper for me to consider that, and I'm not going to. The breach of a duty of truthfulness and candor to the probation officer is serious enough matter that there needs to be a meaningful sentence imposed here, and so that's what I'm going to do. I mean, I mean, with all due respect to my colleague, I don't see any ambiguity. I think the court understood what was proper and what wasn't. And what you're asking us to do is to try to read the court's mind and say, despite your announcement that you wouldn't consider it and this is what you're ruling on, we're going to impute to you some bad intent here. And I guess I don't think there's any precedent that would let us do that.
Well, Your Honor, aside from just the court's comments, I think it is worth looking at this in context. I mean, if you look at the report from the probation office, the tag agency burglaries were driving the report. And I think that was also clear from the presentation by the government. And it's very difficult to look at the record and suggest that regardless of those allegations and how much those allegations factored into the government's request for a sentence and also probation's request, that it had no bearing on it. I think what would have been appropriate for the district court to do, and really this is the only remedy we're asking for, is to conduct the sentence without hearing that evidence, without getting into that discussion, without the presentation of this uncharged conduct. Because really what the government was trying to do was drive the sentence based on those unproven facts and without giving Mr. Donovan any opportunity to challenge them. And I think this is something that the government essentially recognized at the sentencing. I mean, they said, we can't prove the new burglary now, but we're still going to mention it. And we're still going to talk about how we think it is Mr. Donovan and make a presentation about that.
I don't know how you say that you didn't have an opportunity. You were in the hearing, you were in the sentencing hearing, and you certainly had the opportunity to say, wait, that's improper, or we want to get evidence, or you, I don't know what you would have said. And I thought I was clear before saying that I'm not agreeing that there was anything improper here. I was just saying that if there was, and you argue that it was ambiguous, doesn't that just make it more serious that you didn't object at that point to try to clarify the ambiguity?
Well, Your Honor, just to clarify, I was not trial counsel, but
I know that. I know that. I mean,
certainly, I take this court's point, but there's a situation where trial counsel is appearing in front of the court, and the court is recognizing the appropriate limits, but then the court is making statements that suggest that the judge is not respecting those limits. And the question then has to be, what is the purpose of a further objection? Because trial counsel is not going into this hearing thinking that this is going to be a trial on the tag agency burglaries. I mean, that wasn't an allegation. That wasn't a sentence. That wasn't an allegation, an alleged violation. And then what happened is they went to sentencing, and that's what the government argued, and that's what the government relied on. And I think in that context, trial counsel is not supposed to be there ready to defend these unproven allegations that haven't even been alleged. And so the argument, I guess, Your Honor, is there is no utility to a further objection at that point. And the one case that I would cite to this court and that I would rely on, it is an out-of-circuit case, but it's United States versus Arenciaba, and that's a case that we cited in the brief. It is very similar circumstances to this case. There, the district court made very similar comments. The district court actually said in that case it was improper to consider uncharged conduct, and then the court arguably had driven the sentence based on that uncharged conduct, and the 11th Circuit reversed, saying that that kind of commentary is enough to create the ambiguity and enough to create a doubt about what was driving the sentence that it was necessary to remand for resentencing. And there was no mention of lack of preservation there. And I think that's because of the same situations, because the court had acknowledged the impropriety of driving the sentence based on those kind of comments. And Your Honors, if there are no other questions, I would just like to reserve my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brown, you need to unmute.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court, Charles Brown for the United States. I would like to start by addressing defense counsel's argument, which already has been, I think, addressed by the panel, and that is that there was no ambiguity whatsoever in the district court's selection of the sentence, in the information that the district court considered in determining the sentence, and then ultimately in what drove the district court's sentence. And that was, yes, ma'am.
Let me ask you this. If everyone agrees that it would be improper for the sentencing judge to consider this uncharged conduct of these most recent tag burglaries, why on earth was there a bunch of evidence put on about that at the sentencing hearing?
Judge, I would disagree with that characterization. I do not think it was improper. I don't think it would have been improper for the court to consider the facts that Mr. Donovan was purportedly involved in the tag agency burglaries. What I would note is that the facts showed that his vehicle had been picked up on surveillance video on two of the three tag agency burglaries. And then the facts also showed that a very large individual, approximately 6'5 or so, was captured on surveillance in one of the burglaries. That was referenced in the violation report. And then the government at the revocation hearing referenced that as well. And I think if you look at 18 U.S.C. section 3661, Judge, once we're dealing with the sentencing phase of the revocation hearing, there's very little restriction on what information the court, the district court, is allowed to consider in imposing the sentence, so long as there is a minimal indicia of reliability, Your Honor. And I think when you look at the violation report, it contained information from a Mustang detective, the lead investigator in the tag agency burglaries, contacted the probation officer, provided all the evidence and explained the investigation and explained how they were able to link Mr. Donovan to those burglaries. Second, the violation report contained all the firsthand information from the probation officer who actually conducted the search at Mr. Donovan's house, where she walked in and Mr. Donovan had computer screens up where he was illegally downloading software. Mr. Donovan had a USB drive on his person that contained substantial number of victims' information, including all the personal identifying information, Your Honor. So I think all that information was could have been appropriately considered by the district court had the district court wanted to consider it. However, the district court expressly stated that it would not consider any information related to the tag agency burglaries. I would point out that in my advocacy at the district court, I did bring up all the information and try to contrast it against Mr. Donovan's criminal history, which is, you know, what he had done previously and then why we were at that revocation hearing, Your Honor, last October. And at that point in time, the district court interrupted me and asked or inquired into the status of the tag agency burglary investigation. I explained to the court that it was indeed ongoing. And then the court essentially told me no further information needed on that. I'm not going to entertain any information related to it, And when you look at volume three, page 16, 17, and 18, that's exactly what the district court did, Judge. The district court was emphatic when it said, quote, "For present purposes, I am not going to assume that the defendant committed that further offense. That is not why I am, that is not why I am sentencing here today. I think it's premature for me to assume that the defendant has, you know, gone back to the same course of conduct." So there's, yes, Your Honor.
Well, I'm just going to ask, does the pre-sentence report contain other factual statements about post-offense conduct by this defendant, either pro or con? That is, that he was rehabilitating, or he was behaving himself, or he hadn't had further bad tests, or anything. Or was this tag burglary suspicion the only post-crime event mentioned in the pre-sentence report?
No, Your Honor. I would direct the panel's attention to Volume 2, and that is the violation report that was filed on the eve of the revocation hearing. It's a six-page report, and of the six pages, there is one paragraph that discusses the interview or the communications that the probation officer had with the Mustang detective regarding the tag agency burglaries. The remaining information in there outlines Mr. Donovan's extensive use of methamphetamine, at least nine positives. There's also a very detailed discussion about the Vantage Point employment, and that is ultimately what was dispositive when it came to why the district judge chose to sentence Mr. Donovan to 18 months. And in the violation report, volume 2, page 3, the probation officer explains the detailed discussion that she had with Mr. Donovan early in the summer of 2019 when he approached her and he explained he wanted to secure employment at Vantage Point ITAD, Judge. And Vantage Point ITAD is an information technology asset disposition firm. They go into businesses, they take their old computer hardware, they wipe the hard drives of all the information, and then they essentially resell them on the market and give a portion of those proceeds to the firm from which they bought them. When Mr. Donovan explained that to the probation officer, as reflected on page 3 of volume 2, she was extremely concerned given his background with defrauding previous employers. So she admonished him that he could not start that employment until she had a very detailed discussion with that employer about his criminal history. Mr. Donovan agreed that he would not pursue that employment until he made subsequent advancements in his rehabilitation and in his supervision. However, we know that is not what happened, Your Honor, because during the same search in October 2019, several months after this discussion, in addition to finding all the other illegal contraband to include the USB drive that had all the victim's information on it, the probation officer found a check stub from Vantage Point ITAD from August of 2021. She then confronted Mr. Donovan with that, and he admitted he had indeed been working for that firm. And that is, Your Honor, again, going back to ambiguity, that Vantage Point ITAD, which is outlined at length in the violation report, is what the district judge spent the majority of its time discussing when announcing the sentence. I would point out that in the district judge's comments, there's a couple paragraphs that reference the tag agency burglaries and that explain why the judge is not going to consider the tag agency burglaries. And then the district judge spends the rest of its time and the rest of its comments outlining the egregiousness of the lies to the probation officer with respect to the employment at Vantage Point ITAD. There's no question, Your Honors, when you look at the record as a whole, you realize that the only reason the judge sentenced Mr. Donovan to 18 months was because of the lies to the probation officer with respect to ITAD. And I think if there were any question, knowing this judge, you look at the very last page of Volume 3, which is the revocation transcript, and that's page 22. After the court announced its sentence, after the court asked the parties whether or not there was anything else that needed to be taken up, and each party affirmatively represented there was not, the district judge then addressed Mr. Donovan in open court, and the quote was, "Mr. Donovan, I suggest you work very hard to get pointed a different direction. You have got to work with the probation officer. You have got to play straight with them." And that was the end of the hearing, and that was the judge, again, just reiterating to Mr. Donovan his decision that he had just received an 18-month sentence because he was not playing straight with the probation office. It had nothing to do with the tag agency burglaries, had nothing to do with all the victim's information that was on Mr. Donovan's person at the time of the search. The sentence had everything to do with Mr. Donovan playing straight with the probation office and lying to the probation office about working for Vantage Point ITAD. I would just point out, Your Honors, that in Mr. Kruckenberg's brief, there is absolutely no reference whatsoever. There's no citation, no reference, and no discussion about the judge's comments regarding Mr. Donovan's lies to the probation officer. And when you read the record as a whole, it's certainly clear that that is the reason that the judge selected the 18-month sentence against Mr. Donovan. Your Honors, if there are no further questions, I would yield the remainder of my time, and I would respectfully request that the court affirm the district court's judgment and sentence.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Kruckenberg, I believe you have some rebuttal time.
Yes, Your Honor. And also, if this court has no other questions, I will yield the rest of my time. And we respectfully request a reversal and a remand for resentencing. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take this case under advisement. We appreciate your argument today.